Okay, tonight's topic is on penance and mortification. There's many words for penance. Sometimes you hear it talked about as self-denial. Sometimes you hear it described as mortification. Sometimes you hear it described as making sacrifices. So tonight, we're going to talk about penance. Now, penance, the definition would be, it's the virtue or the disposition of heart by which we repent of our sins and are converted to God. Jesus says, unless you do penance, you will likewise perish. So penance is atonement for the sins we've committed, but penance can also be done in reparation for the sins of others. Now, mortification is a word that means to die to oneself. Mortify means to put to death the lower nature so that we can live in the higher nature. And so mortification, the definition of that is the practice of Christian asceticism in order to overcome sin. That's the first part, that we do penance and we mortify ourselves, first of all, to overcome our sins. Second, to control our sinful tendencies. And through penance and austerity, to strengthen the will, that's the third part, in the practice of virtue. That's fourth, to grow in the practice of virtue. And fifth, to grow in the likeness of Christ. So you see, mortification and penance are done to overcome one's sins, to control sinful desires or tendencies, to help strengthen our will to be able to resist sin, to help us grow in the practice of Christian virtue, and to grow, really the ultimate goal is to grow in the image and likeness of Christ. Now there's what's called natural mortification, and then there's called supernatural mortification. So mortification means, as I said, to die to oneself, to do self-discipline or self-denial. And we see natural mortification in athletes and sports, in music. We think of the Olympic athletes who deny themselves all sorts of things, deny themselves sweets and candy and all those things to be able to develop their strength and energy so that they can do Olympic events. And so mortification, they're practicing mortification through their self-denial, getting up early and running every morning, or eating a certain diet, exercising, lifting weights, training. All this is part of self-discipline or mortification, dying to oneself, in order that they will achieve a great goal, namely try to win the Olympics. But what we're going to talk about tonight is supernatural mortification. And this is when, based upon faith, we seek to grow in holiness through merit gained by cooperating with God's grace and by practicing Christian asceticism. And so what we're going to talk about is supernatural mortification. We know that the athletes do it in a natural way. We will talk about it from a supernatural, spiritual point of view, namely to get ourselves into physical condition, a spiritual condition, so that we can run the spiritual races that we're going to need to be able to run. Sometimes mortification or penance is also called sacrifice, making a sacrifice. It comes from the two Latin words sacrum facere, which means to make holy or to dedicate something to God, to give something to God. And so when we make a sacrifice, we're recognizing God's sovereignty, God's supremacy, and we're saying, God, you are our creator. We're the creature. We want to dedicate something to you to make it holy. And so we would make a sacrifice of giving up certain things and offering that to God as a pleasing sacrifice. Now, the idea of penance and mortification is found in sacred scripture. Our Lord said, first of all, that if you wish to be his follower, we must deny our very self, take up our cross each day, and follow in his footsteps. So it's right there, it's really the heart of the gospel, is self-denial and being willing to carry our daily crosses, the daily sufferings that come to us each day in our lives. And then to imitate Jesus and to follow in his footsteps. And then Luke chapter 8, verse 3, Jesus again tells us, unless you do penance, you shall all likewise perish. So penance here is referring to repentance, conversion of heart, and also in making reparation for one's past sins. Now, there's basically two kinds of penance. There's what's called passive penance, and then there's active penance. Now, passive penance is accepting the difficulties and trials and sufferings that come about in our daily lives. It's basically being abandoned to the will of God. It's accepting, in patience, whatever suffering God sends us and allows us to endure. So it's basically accepting crosses that God sends us. That's called passive penance. It also would mean accepting illnesses or disease, suffering. It would also be accepting the kind of death that God will allow us to have. And we're accepting this in conformity to the will of God and being, in a sense, passive in accepting the sufferings and trials that come to us in life. But then there's also active penance. And this is voluntarily undertaking penance ourselves, which could be giving up certain things, but it could also be doing certain things. And we see this especially in the lives of the saints who undertook voluntary penance. We know about the penance that St. John Vianney did of only eating one potato a day. And the penances that many of the saints did were quite extraordinary. And maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, there's a very good section. It's a two-paragraph section in the New Legion of Mary Handbook, which talks about mortification and self-denial. Let me just share with you what that says, because it's one of the best descriptions of mortification and self-denial that I've ever found, and it just boils it down to a couple of paragraphs. It says that mortification and self-denial means getting rid of the old self, which St. Paul talks about, in order to put on Christ, in order to allow Christ to live his life in us. So it's dying to the lower nature of ourselves, to our pride and impatience and sinfulness, and allowing Christ to grow within us so that we can live his life and share his divine life more fully. Mortification is self-discipline in order to love God and others for the sake of God. So it's the ability for us to show our love for God and also to love others for God's sake. And it says, this need arises to do penance because of original sin. See, all of us have original sin, which means that our intellect is darkened, our will is weakened, and we have concupiscence, which is an inclination to sin, an inclination to follow our passions. And so because all of us are born into this world with original sin, it means that we need to do things to help overcome our sinful tendencies. And so, for example, our intellect is darkened, which means we have to study our faith and learn and read and grow so that our intellect can help we can understand God all the better. And then we have to do things to strengthen our will. And this is where penance and mortification comes in. And also, we need to be able to strengthen ourselves to overcome concupiscence, which is this inordinate passions or desires for evil things or for sinful things. So this is where mortification and penance have their place. Now, the Legion Handbook goes on to say that the first way in which we live a life of penance and self-denial is by willingly accepting the penances that the Church itself imposes on us. And this is Lent. This would mean offering things up during Lent. It means following the days of fasting and abstinence that the Church gives us, namely on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, as well as giving up meat on Fridays during Lent, and then every Friday making it a day in which we do some sacrifice. And again, we're welcome to pick whatever sacrifice we want to do on those Fridays throughout the year, but we're still obliged to make some sacrifice on Fridays throughout the year. That's the first thing that it mentions, that a spirit of prayer and self-denial would mean being observant of the Church's decision for us to do penance on certain days and in certain seasons, namely Advent, as well as especially in Lent. Advent is also a time of some moderate penance, not to the same extreme as Lent, but it's also a time of preparation for the holy season of Christmas, and to prepare for the birth of our Lord, just like we prepare for the Easter during Lent. Now, the handbook goes on to tell us that another way in which we can be practicing self-denial is to accept from God's hands all the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. We talked about that as passive penance, of accepting in our lives the sufferings that God allows us to have. But there's also a way in which we can positively grow in this spirit of self-denial and mortification. And it mentions here by, first of all, controlling our senses, especially with what we regard, what we permit ourselves to look at, to listen to, or to say. And we'll be talking in a few moments about mortification of speech and of the tongue. So we can practice mortification by controlling our senses and what we look at, what we listen to, and what we say. It says, all that helps to control the internal senses of memory and imagination. So it requires mortification could be helping to control our memory of past sinfulness, or controlling the imagination and not dwelling upon bad things. Mortification also involves the overcoming of laziness, moodiness, and selfish attitudes. So for example, let's say you're feeling lazy. By getting up and doing something, that would be a practice of a self-denial or mortification. Or let's say you're not feeling that well and you're feeling sort of moody and irritable. Being charitable during that time would be a practice of mortification. Or if you're feeling selfish, and being generous at that time would be a practice of mortification. And this is very good. A mortified person will be courteous and pleasant to those he lives close to, at home or at work. See, it's very easy to be rude and discourteous. It's very difficult to be always courteous and pleasant and kind, especially if somebody's very irritating or somebody's might be bothering you. But to be courteous and kind and considerate to people would be a sign and an indication, and actually a mortification that we could practice. Being pleasant, being kind with others, people we live with, your spouse, people that you work with, by showing charity and kindness to them, it's a practice of mortification. Then it says, having a personal apostolate, which is friendship carried out to try to bring somebody closer to God. And all of us should have a personal apostolate with your neighbors, with your coworkers, people that you can talk to in charity and love to try to bring them closer to God. Maybe somebody you work with is a fallen away Catholic. By developing a friendship with that person, you can help lead them closer to God. And oftentimes you might not feel maybe like talking about a particular subject again and again, but by being a good listener, that's the practice of mortification, by being pleasant to that person, by developing a friendship with that person that you might not even be necessarily attracted to, you can help lead them as a personal apostolate closer to God. Then it mentions that the cultivation of good habits, and then is a very important part. And of course, to develop a good habit oftentimes requires self-discipline and self-denial. Then it says that if Christ the Head suffered on account of our sins, it is only right that we should be in solidarity with Him. See, we're the mystical body of Christ. If Christ suffered, He's the head of the body, we're the members. So we also must be willing to suffer for Christ. If Christ, the innocent one, paid for us who are guilty, surely we, the guilty, have to do something ourselves. So Jesus, think of how much He suffered in His death on the cross and His passion, and He was innocent. And yet we are guilty of sin, so we too should be willing to suffer. If Christ the innocent one suffered, we should be willing to suffer for Christ as well, and also in reparation for our own sins and the sins of others. And lastly, it says, every fresh evidence of sin inspires generous Christians to make positive acts of reparation. So when we see sinfulness, when we see abortion, when we see violence and war, this should inspire us not to get discouraged or to give up, but it should inspire us to make acts of penance. And we think of the great saints, and even in recent times, people like Padre Pio, who was a victim soul, who offered up all his sufferings in reparation for the sins of the world. And as you know, he's going to be beatified coming up here in May. I want to mention a few other things, some other very good practical ways of penances that we can practice, which really nobody else would notice, but it's things we can do out of love for God for these same reasons, to strengthen our will, to grow in virtue, to help us overcome sin in times of temptation. And this is from a Lenten calendar. And every day it gives you one of these ideas of something you can do during Lent. For example, on one day it says, take less of what you like and more of what you dislike at meals today. Okay? So let's say you really love, you know, the chicken, but you're not much on Brussels sprouts. Okay, so take less chicken and a few more Brussels sprouts. Another one would be, take nothing to drink between meals today. Or, for example, don't eat between meals. That's a very good penance or mortification. Do not use seasoning on your food today. You know, like not put salt or pepper on your food on a particular meal. Monsignor Escriva, Blessed Escriva, says in The Way, that little book called The Way, he says, if you've eaten without doing a little mortification, you've eaten like a pagan. Isn't that good? He says, every Christian, when they sit down, besides saying grace, should do some little mortification. For some people, it's not putting butter on their bread. For others, it's not putting sugar in their tea or not putting milk in their coffee. These little things, nobody else has to know about it. It's only between you and God. But these little acts of penance can be offered for the conversion of souls. For example, let's say you have a son or a daughter that's left the practice of the faith. What you could do is, on a particular occasion, say, you know, this entire week I'm not going to put sugar in my coffee. And you could offer that for your son or daughter that's left the faith. Or, this week I'm just going to drink water instead of soda, or soda instead of beer, or beer instead of wine, or wine instead of hard liquor. You know, there's all sorts of sacrifices you could make, okay? Another one says, avoid listening to the radio today. So when you're driving in your car, maybe instead of listening to the radio, just be in silence and talk to God in your heart. Or say the rosary when you're driving in your car instead of listening to the radio on a particular day. Or what I like to do during Lent, instead of listening to secular music, listen to religious music. Or instead of listening to secular tapes on whatever topic it might be, listen to just religious tapes during Lent. Maybe the New Testament on tape. Or good Catholic tapes by Scott Hahn or by Mother Angelica or Mother Teresa or Bishop Sheen. Another one would be avoid any TV or video games. Listen, instead, read the Passion of Christ in your Bible or Missal. So maybe cutting back on television would be a penance that people could do. And instead, they could replace that with reading. Bishop Sheen once said that if you want to get rid of a bad habit, the best way to do it is to bring in a good habit. He says, instead of just giving up things, not only give them up, but replace it with something good. In other words, fill the void, fill the vacuum. So let's say instead of eating, let's say, candy and junk food, instead maybe eat celery or carrot sticks, you know, something like that. Or maybe instead of sitting down to watch TV, go out and take a walk and say the rosary as you're taking a walk. So there's things you can do to replace these things. Let's say instead of smoking, a person could decide to read a chapter of some book. So the idea is that it's a good idea to fill that void, fill that vacuum when we're trying to do good things. Another one would be taking only one helping at each meal today. Instead of going for that second helping, just limit yourself to one helping. I remember meeting a Jesuit that as a young man, he always had the practice of never eating between meals, ever, in his whole life. And he would have his breakfast, have his lunch, have his dinner, and that was it. And that's heroic self-discipline, not to munch in those Fritos or Doritos or Cheetos or anything else that ends in OS. You know, all those wonderful snacks that we sometimes have, you know, that's a good sacrifice of not eating between meals, maybe during Lent or on other occasions. Here's some other kinds of spiritual and internal practices. Don't say anything unnecessary today. Like, don't do unnecessary talking. Instead, say a little aspiration throughout the day, like, Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on me. Another one would be, try to show extra patience today in all things with everybody that you meet. Try to be extra patient or extra kind. Another one is, don't complain today. Isn't that good? Eliminate complaining. As Dale Carnegie says, never criticize, condemn, or complain. People say, what else is there to talk about? But if you never criticize, condemn, or complain, that could be an act of self-denial. Next would be restrain anger and go out of your way to be kind to the person who caused you anger. You could even pray for somebody that's hurt you in the past, somebody that you've had a difficult time forgiving. Pray for that person today. Another one is, don't be distracted with somebody else's business, like not to be a busybody. Another one is, avoid gossiping today. Instead, say an extra rosary to overcome this great fault. Next is, when asked to do something extra, do so with a joyful and pleasant attitude today. Next, seek a pleasant tone in your conversations with everybody. Another one is, avoid using the phone today. Okay? Next, always tell the truth in your dealings with others. Not to exaggerate, not to shade things in a different way, but just plainly speak the truth. That's also an act of discipline to be able to do that, not to exaggerate things. Avoid vanity or self-seeking today. Here's some more spiritual practices. Practice humility in all your actions, like let others go through the door first, or hold the door for somebody, or do little acts of humility and kindness for others. Next is, be extra generous. Help somebody in need, perhaps in being charitable financially, giving a donation. Give a little bit extra. Give an extra dollar to the waitress when she brings you your cup of coffee at IHOP. And look for ways to be helpful throughout the day. Do a job that needs to be done without being asked. That's a good one. You know, look around, see what needs to be done, and then just do that without telling anybody about it. Be courageous. Walk away from any impure situations today. That's really what the saints say, that to be heroic and to win a victory against impurity, never wrestle with it, just flee. Those are the victorious ones, those who don't even hang around. The ones that escape and run away are actually the champions when you're dealing with sins against impurity. They say, trying to wrestle with that is like wrestling with a pig. You're going to get muddy. So the thing is best not even to wrestle with the pig. Just avoid those things and flee from those situations. Next, don't be idle today. Be active. Stay busy. Always be doing something for others or for your spiritual growth. You know, there's a Jesuit priest I know that made a vow never to waste any time. Isn't that amazing? Now talk about a heroic vow. Imagine making the vow never to waste time. I mean, this priest has not seen a movie in over 50 years. Okay, he just doesn't go. That's one of his sacrifices. He spends his time reading or praying or writing. And he's written about 30 or 40 books. So that would be a good vow for us maybe to consider, maybe not taking it as a vow, but trying to live that way of not wasting time. Volunteer for an extra job today. Go out of your way to help or talk to somebody who is usually a difficult person to spend time with. Like, you can visit somebody a shut-in, you visit somebody in a nursing home or a hospital, when you want to do something else, if you do that, that's an act of self-denial. You're denying yourself, let's say, enjoying a beautiful day by going inside a nursing home to visit somebody that might be sick. Say an extra rosary today for the conversion of a sinner. So instead of, let's say, watching TV, it'd be a sacrifice to give that up to say an extra rosary. Visit somebody who is sick or lonely and offer to say the rosary with them. So those are some very, I think, very practical, very good ideas that I think we should implement in our life. But just now over these next 10 or 15 minutes before we have a chance for some questions and answers, I want to go through some of the highlights of a chapter in the book called The Ascetical Life by Father Parente. So this is a spiritual classic. You know, some of you are familiar with it. He wrote a book called The Mystical Life and a book called The Ascetical Life. See, as you know, in the spiritual life, there are the stages, you know, the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the unitive way. And these different stages are hopefully what we're progressing through in the spiritual life, and hopefully we'll all obtain union with God. And so his book on the ascetical life talks about the purgative way and the illuminative way, and then he gets into discussing the mystical life, which would be the unitive way, where we're trying to unite ourselves with our Lord spiritually. And we know that many of the saints pass through this. And oftentimes when they pass through the stages of the spiritual life, they have certain, like the dark night of the senses and then the dark night of the soul. And so that's in the writings of John of the Cross. Now, let me just sum up the main points that Father Parente makes in his chapter on mortification and penance. First of all, he describes mortification as spiritual and physical self-discipline, which curbs self-love. See, there's a constant struggle in the spiritual life between love of God and self-love. And he says when these austerities that we practice, when we do these things to expiate for our past sins, we call that penance. Okay? So mortification done in reparation for sin, we call penance. For example, when you go to confession, the priest gives you a penance. That's done to help make up for your sins. He says that next to mental prayer, mortification is the most necessary means of purification of the soul, of going through the purgative way. Because mortification cuts the soul free from sin. It breaks off bad habits and opens the door to good habits. And as we know, discipline is the key to success in any life, whether it be in the life of somebody learning how to play the piano or the violin. Discipline is the key. Whether you're a person who's going to be a good salesperson, discipline is the key, getting out and making the sale. Whether it's sports, discipline is the key. So in the spiritual life, self-discipline is also the key. Self-discipline subdues and corrects the inordinate inclinations of our fallen nature. See, because of original sin, oftentimes we become inordinately attached to things like carrot cake and cheesecake, and we have an inordinate attachment to these things. Or to, could be to music, could be to watching Redskins. And when you see, our society is really a culture of addictions. People are addicted to the lottery. People are addicted to shopping. People are addicted to TV or the internet or computers. So in our society, there are so many inordinate attractions that we have, or so many inordinate affections, as they say, in the spiritual life. And the danger of being overly attached to anything other than God is that it will affect our ability to become truly united to God and one with God. It says, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So another word for the mortification is the cross in our daily lives. But St. Paul has written beautifully about self-denial and mortification. He calls it the stripping away of the old self, of the old man, and putting on the new man, Christ Jesus. He calls it a spiritual crucifixion that we all have to go through. He says, quote, "They that are Christ have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences." And then lastly, mortification. Paul says, "Mortify your members which are upon the earth." And so remember, mortify means to die. It means to die to sin. It means to die to one's own inclinations and to die to overly being overly attached to anything other than God. Father Parente says, "No one can be called spiritual who first does not practice mortification and second does not practice mental prayer." So he says, you're not a spiritual person unless you're practicing mortification and mental prayer. He says, these are the 2 feet on which one walks the way of perfection. You need armor to protect yourself and you need a sword. So we have prayer and mortification, the shield and the sword. So Scripture says, if we live our lives according to the flesh, we will die. But if we live a life according to the Spirit, we shall live. St. Paul says, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. This is very important. He says, "I chastise my body and bring it under subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should fall away." So that's a good passage because, first of all, it shows that St. Paul did not have assurance of salvation. He's not presuming he's going to be saved. Like some of our friends of other faiths will say, once you accept Christ, you don't have no worries. You don't have to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, as St. Paul says. But Paul is very clear. He says, "I myself practice mortification," he says, "because I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to fall away from the true faith." So he says that he needs to keep his body under subjection. Now, St. Francis talked a lot about this. Remember, referring to his body as Brother Ass, you know, always keeping it under subjection. He said that even in the end of his life, he regretted, he thought he might have even done penance that was too severe. But we'll mention that in a moment or two about how to make sure that your penance is not too severe. It says that our nature is substantially good. See, we believe our body is good, so we should not hurt our body. We should not harm it, but we do need to discipline it. Monsignor Escriva said, you should always give your body a little less than it needs, a little less sleep, a little less food, you know, than it actually needs, just to keep it a little bit on the edge. He says that our nature is good, but we have a disorder and a weakness because of original sin. And it's because of this that we have to practice mortification. Because we have rebellious appetites and disorder in our nature, like the passion, the appetite, the self-love, that we need to be able to moderate and temper this self-love so that we can love God the way He deserves to be loved. St. Augustine talks about the love of self and the love of God. They're opposite. They're at opposite ends. And it says here that the duty of mortification is to substitute God in the salvation of our soul for self-love. And the opposite of self-love is charity, namely love of God and love of neighbor. Now there was a heresy condemned in the Middle Ages called the Quietists. You might have heard of it by a man named Molinus. This was condemned by Pope Innocent XI. Molinus was a Quietist. He basically said that, quote, voluntary mortifications and is a heavy and fruitless burden, therefore it must be given up. He says the holiest works and penances performed by the saints are not sufficient to remove even a single attachment from the soul, and that was condemned by the Church. So the Quietist said, there's no need for penance, there's no need for mortification, all you have to do is be completely passive and just accept whatever God sends you. But the church says, no, it's not enough just to resign yourself to the will of God. You should also practice mortification. Now, the church, as it says here, says we don't practice mortification just for the sake of mortification, because it is an unpleasant thing. But we do it for a goal. We do the cause to achieve an effect. And that effect is a stronger will, stronger willpower to resist sin. It's tempering our unruly passions, growing in virtue and holiness. So it's done not in and of itself for its own sake. It's done to achieve a goal. Just like when people are lifting weights and exercising, they're doing it to achieve a goal, namely of good health or running the Olympics. So it's a means to an end. It mentions here about the importance of mortifying our tongue, our speech, which again could be heroic. For example, not to gossip, not to use God's name in vain, not to say unnecessary things, not to speak uncharitably. These things are kinds of a mortification that we can practice. It says that the interior mortification is very valuable because it passes unnoticed and nobody else will see the inner mortifications that we do. Therefore, they won't become a source of pride or vanity. And that is really one of the only dangers of mortification, especially when some of the people in the past would wear hair shirts and do other kinds of mortification. The danger was that they would become proud and vain and think, oh, look what I'm doing to show God I love him. But if you do inner mortification, for example, like keeping your thoughts good and holy by doing little things that nobody else will see, this can help to make sure you don't fall into the trap of pride or vanity. For example, it says mortifying the tongue, mortifying the eyes by not looking at certain things, and also mortifying the hearing by not listening to things that would be bad. Now this is very important here. It says that the golden rule in mortification is moderation and perseverance. Those two things. If you're taking notes, write this down. Moderation and perseverance. It doesn't have to be extreme penance. Usually that is harmful to one's health, but it should be in moderation. So you're not going to die by not putting extra sugar in your coffee, right? You're not going to die by not taking milk in your coffee. But these are little mortifications that you can do out of love for God. It says mortification should not injure our health. Rather, it protects it and safeguards our health. We think of, many of the saints. For example, we think of Brother Andre up in Canada. Remember, when he was born, he was so physically in bad shape. He was born premature. They thought he was going to die. They didn't expect him to live, and yet he lived to be like 80 or 90 years old. And he was once asked how he lived so long, especially since he was in such poor health as a baby. He said two things. He said, by eating as little as possible and by working as hard as possible. He says that kept him alive for that many years. And there have been many others, like even John Vianney, whose penance was very extreme. But he was in a special class by himself. He was in a whole category by himself. I mean, he still lived to be 70-some years old. And it's the doctors who examined him said it was a miracle he was still alive, because nobody else could eat one potato a day for 40 years and still be alive, you know? So it's amazing God gave him special grace. I don't think he calls us to that heroic kind of penance, but he does call us to penance each and every day. So mortification should not hurt our health, but it should actually safeguard our health. Like not eating between meals and things like that is actually a good thing for our health. The continual exercise of mortification will strengthen our will against temptation and make it always ready for the practice of the Christian virtues. Then it says, the acceptance of difficulties connected with our work or vocation, with the fulfillment of our duties towards God and man, is a category of passive mortification. That's what I mentioned. There's accepting the trials and difficulties of life, but there's also actually doing certain kinds of mortification. Then it says here, generous souls are not satisfied with what is indispensable in interior or exterior mortification. For example, the saints practice great austerities, fasting, shortening their sleep, resting on a hard ground or a hard bed, wearing penitential garb, like hair shirts. It says, for this kind of mortification, a person should always obtain the approval of their spiritual director and be under obedience. Because sometimes we make the wrong decision as individuals, but if we have a good spiritual director, we could say, Father, is it okay that I fast one day a week or whatever it might be? The spiritual director is very important for those who want to undertake more penance. Okay, let's see if there's anything else. I guess he has a few other things. Lastly, he talks about John of the Cross and about how if we want to obtain union with God, we have to go through the purgation of the senses and of the spirit in order to obtain mystical union with God. And so God oftentimes allows the souls to go through purifications and the dark night of the senses, the dark night of the spirit, in order to obtain this union with God. And he says that if we humbly accept with patience all the trials of our lives, the spiritual aridities and dryness, the contradictions, misunderstandings, false accusations, persecutions, sufferings, illnesses, if we accept that, that's part of our purification in order to obtain union with God. So he says that our purpose in life is to obtain this union with God, the state of the transforming union. But in order to obtain that, we should, first of all, accept the difficulties of our lives, the sufferings, the illnesses that we receive, the physical hardships, and accept that as part of God's will for us. But then we should be practicing daily prayer and also some daily penance in our lives. Doesn't have to be severe, but it should be something, as it says, moderate and also persevering, which means we should do something each and every day. It doesn't have to be the same thing, but some of those things I mentioned, I give you a whole list of like 30 or 40 things that could be done. Maybe you could just every day pick a different thing. Pick one of those things, and it also can help because if you do the same thing every day, it could become tiring. But if you do something different every day, one day not watch TV, one day not listen to the radio, one day give up sweets, one day say an extra rosary, that can keep the spiritual life fresh and it can help us in obtaining union with God. So let's stop here and give you a chance to ask a couple questions if anybody has any questions. Yes. So the question is, can you take credit for any inadvertent sacrifices that you made? Do you have any examples? Yeah. Right. So that's a good question. Basically, the way I understand your question is that, let's say you'd like to watch TV all day, but you have to go to work all day. And so you're saying, can you still get credit for not watching the TV all day? Okay. Well, the way I guess I would answer that question would be, obviously, we should, first of all, make the morning offering every day and offer up all of our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings each day. So that way, even if we're eating or driving in the car, praying, taking care of your kids, whatever it might be, once you've made the morning offering, then everything is offered up as a sacrifice to God, all of your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of the day. So basically, you can get credit for everything then, as long as it's not sinful. Okay? So that's the one way I would answer that, is that if you offer up everything, prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of the day, then no matter what you're doing, as long as it's not sinful, is meritorious. And you can actually be growing closer to God, and you can offer up everything that day. And we can even grow closer to God through, if we're in the state of grace, by trying to gain merit, namely by saying that extra rosary, or by spending more time in prayer, or by doing an act of charity. So if we can do these things with our will, cooperating with God's grace, we can even grow closer to God in holiness than merely by accepting what comes into our lives. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody have any other good penances they want to tell us about? Here's your chance to brag and lose all your grace. Oh yeah, Mary Bridget.
Oh, no, I didn't have a good penance.
Oh, okay.
That list of penances.
Yeah.
Yes,
in fact, I'll even give you the address of this. It's called the 1999 Lenten Guide. I got it in the mail. And it's put out by the St. Benedict Center in Still River, Massachusetts. I'll pass this around, and you could write down the address and the phone number if you want to call them. And here you go, thanks. So I'm going to call them and get a copy of that. I don't know much about that particular monastery. Does anybody know much about them? St. Benedict Center in Still River, Mass. I don't know much about them, but that particular Lenten calendar I thought was very good as well. I'm glad you like that. Okay, anybody else? Okay. If she's running the address, this is the name of the press that prints it. So then you can write that down as well. Okay. Anybody else? Last chance, yes.
I've had many calls asking for donations. And it seems like, you know, a few donations in one place, you have to send in $40. Getting mailings and phone calls.
Yeah. Right.
And I try to be considerate and generous. But it gets to the point. I can't help but get a little more annoyed. And I'm happy with it because it cannot continue. I mean, I get mail every day, sometimes.
Right.
Not only one or two, but five or six.
Right. Exactly.
I just don't know. I know for a lot of people, I wrote the way that well. Pick your own favorites for the rest of the way. Well, I'm sure that's the way to handle it. Yeah, that's well. Yeah, what I found too is the same situation.
I'm on a lot of mailing lists as well, so you'll get things from the Sacred Heart Fathers in Wisconsin and Marian this and Marian Helpers, and these are a lot of these are wonderful wonderful thing. In fact, Bobby, if you could pass that back to me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to also read this out for the sake of the tape, but those who aren't here tonight would also be able to order this. It's from the St. Benedict Center.